Welcome to the post show. All right, so what's going on, man?
Well, you want to go straight into Amazon Anonymous, because it actually goes then into something that I want to talk about.
Oh, sure.
Briefly. I don't want to delve into it too deeply, because I know you all hate it when I love talk about science, but I love it. But I just want to bring up something really kind of cool that everyone can actually, you can look at a video and see what I'm talking about. I'm going to show Jeff and then point people to the video.
All right.
But why don't you go first, and I'll go with mine, then have that lead into...
Okay, sure. I got two things I want to talk about real quick. Let's see. The first one, which I apparently have just lost track of. Oh, we'll talk about the second one first while I find the first one. But do you see the Gears Beginner's Building Set?
Gears Beginner's Building Set. I'm looking... Oh, no.
Okay, so I did month to date... And then
oh, there it is.
The ones
yeah.
I haven't looked at okay. yet. So it's a kind of platform pieces you put together, and then there's gears. And actually, I have this.
Oh, really?
Got it for Allison a couple years ago. It is fun, but not very flexible. You can kind of just build the same few things over and over again. Gears only fit together a couple ways. You can't really do anything really too functional. But it's fun.
It's good at demonstrating the basic idea. Yeah.
And the kids like it. So it's a neat little set.
I mean, I think the basic idea that you really want to put is you move something here and it moves the whole apparatus.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's a cool thing to show.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. $22.37 free shipping on orders over $35. Doesn't seem to be, it is a Prime. Okay. Yeah, it's a Prime thing. And the other thing I want to talk about, if I can re-find it, is the beer hammer, or whatever that is, the bottle hammer. What is that called?
Didn't we discuss another beer hammer before?
Well, this isn't a hammer. It's a cylinder thing that you put down on the bottle cap, and it takes the cap off. You kind of does this little, you push down on it.
Uh-huh.
And it goes over the neck of the bottle, and then it somehow takes the cap off, and you take it off. It's I'm curious.
Oh, bottle hammer, automatic bottle cap remover.
Yes, I'm curious on if this is a good product or not. You know,
well, it's kind of like decap and catcher because they magnetize for easy removal. They say.
Okay. It's 4.5 stars.
So it's just easier than a.
Where's this thing been all my life? And also dissatisfied. Looks like there's a couple complaints about it's not very well built.
But let's not dwell on the complaints. Yeah.
$12.16. I'd like to see it in action.
So, for my thing, I'll pick two also. I'll pick the something very interesting. Somebody bought the Bicycle Negro League Baseball Museum playing cards. So these are bicycle cards, you know, playing cards, regular 52-deck playing cards. But they also have, I guess, Negro League logos and Negro League teams on them and team photos from the championship teams. It's a cool item. It's not a particularly expensive, $4.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool item. And if you're into baseball... A nice, nice thing. The other thing I want to talk about is that somebody was buying a lot of science books, including a couple of Feynman books. Feynman's my favorite of the scientists, but like somebody bought The Joy of X. Somebody bought two Feynman books. What do you care what other people think? And Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. Somebody bought something else. I saw that was a science book. So definitely somebody's into that stuff, or multiple people, but I'm guessing it's the same person. But those are both good books. Feynman is a great author. But the thing I wanted to point out with Feynman was Feynman had a really interesting way of showing sort of an analogy to spin in particles. Because when we think of spin, spin is normally taught as intrinsic angular momentum. But a point particle doesn't actually have what you might call an angular momentum. It has no dimensionality except for an angular momentum. Right. But it does... But what does that mean? And also, and there are weird aspects to that because it causes things like electric dipole moment in an electron. But the question is, you know, why is spin so weird? One of the things is, if you take a particle and an electron and spin it 360 degrees, its spin would be in the opposite direction. So it won't be fully translated around. You have to spin it 720 degrees to get it back down. And here's where Feynman came up with, or at least it's credited to Feynman, his plate trick, which I can do with this glass of water. So, and you can look on, just do a 5 minute plate trick.
Just remember you have a laptop underneath
the glass of water. That's okay. Why I spread it out. but so the idea is, okay, if I twist this around and I go like this with my glass, I've twisted my arm 360 degrees, the glass is back up, but my arm is twisted. So I have to twist it back around another 360 degrees and it comes back to normal. So I actually did a 720 degree twist to get it back to
put the whole system.
To bet the whole system is symmetrical. Yeah. So look for Feynman plate trick. There's a.
What is the analog of your arm on these particles? Is there anything you can describe there? Or?
That's a good. It's a decent analogy for. It's a decent analogy for what comes down to SU2, SU3 group theory. So there's not a good way I can express it because I don't understand it well enough to express it. In a better way. But it's a decent analogy for how you can translate some of the system, but then you still have to do another twist to get it back.
Okay, so when you watch Greg do this, the first time he twists it, he takes it under his elbow. And then the second time he does it, he does it above. Over his elbow. So if you... Now, I don't know whether this... Actually, it works. I don't know if you flatten it out if it works this way, but it almost looks like it's a figure eight or something like that, right? It's something along those lines, one above the axis, one below the axis.
Well, I mean, the idea is roughly the same, which is just by twisting it in what we would presume as a sort of a three dimensional twist. It not everything is twisted right, and not everything can twist all the way back in that same way, but. I thought it was a cool demonstration when I saw it, because it's hard to get your head around it, but when you see something like that, it kind of gives you a little bit more of an idea of how something could be, because you're describing a system. You have to constantly think of it that way. You're not describing an object, you're describing a system.
Right. No, it definitely takes some of the mystery away about how two rotations equals puts the system back at one rotation. Yeah, without that visual demonstration, it'd be a lot harder to visualize. And people right now, before they have time to go to YouTube and see the plate trick or plate demonstration, probably like, what? But as soon as you see it happen, it's like, oh, yeah. But then you're also looking at, part of you is looking at the anatomy like, why does that work? how's he able to turn the cup twice and not spill the water?
Right, and it's I'm using my analogy like you said a different way, but I am keeping the water always at the same way. So,
right, neat.
So like I said, it's a Feynman plate trick. If Feynman did it, I would totally believe it because he was brilliant at coming up with these things. Uh-huh. But whether I don't know whether it's apocryphal or not that he's the guy.
Right.
Like, he's credited with sometimes some dubious things. Like, sometimes he's credited with the saying that shut up and calculate in terms of quantum mechanics, which is sort of an idea of people keep trying to come up with ways to philosophize how quantum mechanics actually works. And supposedly Feynman said, don't worry about that, shut up and calculate. The math works. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know why it works from a classical point of view. Feynman didn't say that. It was, I think, David Merman who said that. But for some reason, it gets attributed to Feynman.
Right. Have you seen the show? It's an Amazon original show called Betas.
I've not seen the show. I've heard about it.
It's pretty good.
Is Camille Nanjiani in that?
That might be the one. I'm not sure exactly what he looks like. That might be him.
Let's see. I know he's in an HBO show. Is he in Betas? Let's see.
There's an Indian guy, but I don't know if that's Kumail.
Karen Sani. No. No. He's not. I'll show you what Camille looks like. Camille Nanjiani is one of the funniest people alive. So, everyone should know what he looks like.
Oh, okay. I do know what he looks like. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's not the guy in Betus. But Betus is pretty good. There's three episodes up on Amazon right now. If you're a Prime member, you can watch it for free on Amazon Instant Video. And I'd recommend checking it out, especially if you work in tech. But it's not exclusive to tech. There's some pretty good overall comedy in it. So
is Big Bang Theory like? I mean, it's better. Is it making fun of the people who are nerds, or is it enjoying being around them?
It's enjoying being. It's not making fun of the nerds, I don't think. It's
okay. I'll take your word for it.
I mean, it's based around a Silicon Valley startup, so it's a lot of the tech startup. You know, a lot of comedy around that, and the characters you typically find in tech startups and things like that. You know, the CTO. You know, he's definitely Asperger's. He just codes and codes and codes, and you know. Their chief security officer is on probation. He was an anonymous and hacked Citibank, you know, and now he's their security officer. But he's also the 35-year-old old guy at the company, you know, where everyone's, you know, 20-something. And there's just good dynamics.
God, it sounds just like watching your work. Why would I want to do that?
Because there's good comedy baked into it. And some of the absurdity that you deal with is pointed out. And I don't know. It's good. I like it.
He'll be in a HBO show called Silicon Valley. So probably a similar
same kind of show, huh?
Yeah.
We need an Indian guy to write some code.
I mean, I think that you have to give it to Aziz Ansari for really just breaking out of that tech guy mold. Mm-hmm. I was on Nerdist recently, and he said, you know, he specifically said that I'm not taking, you know, Ahmed the tech guy or the cab driver roles.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets roles that are, you know, he has to turn down roles or stuff, but he gets roles that are just basically roles like anybody could be in.
Right.
And he fills them well.
Right. That's cool. I watched just the pilot of Alpha House 2, which is another Amazon show. It's about four senators living in like roommates in a townhouse.
Yeah,
and John Goodman's in it. There was a couple good laughs. It's not as good as Betus. There's some of the character traits are pretty funny though. You know, there's the Republican, anti-gay. You know, praised by the right, and you know, he's obviously gay. You know,
living in a house with three other dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all gay?
No, not all gay. No.
Are some of them gay besides that guy?
No, I think it's just that guy.
Why are four high-powered U.S. senators?
It's part of the universe. You need to accept that premise.
You have to lampshade that somehow. You have to give
they
some...
They don't. They, at least in the pilot, they don't they,
no, no one ever it. Says... I mean, you don't even have, maybe not explain it, but seems... no one ever says, isn't it weird?
No,
you
know, no.
Lampshade it that way?
No, it... At least in the pilot, I've only watched the pilot. It just seems like it's perfectly normal for four U.S. senators
to be roomies. That is without any that is weird.
It was kind of, I mean, I thought it was like, I'm like, I'm waiting for the explanation on why these guys are living together and not all in their own place. No, just that's just part of the universe that senators
do all senators up. Or are these just these four?
They haven't. They didn't reveal if other senators.
I mean, that would be a good way of lampshading it by having, you know, every senator seems to live with a bunch of other senators, and then it just becomes part of the weird, you know, weird structure of the world. It's not just some incongruous element that you need to explain when everybody does it. Pause it for a second because I want to get something.
All right, we're back with the kale chips,
Caesar. This was what remains. This was full. The big kale chips, much like a potato chips. The deleteritis goes to the bottom. Yeah, take a nice healthy stab at it.
Oh, yeah. even as a kind of grab a wad of this stuff, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's easy to make, and it's just completely good for celiacs, vegans. There's really no one who could, I guess if you're allergic to nuts, even though cashews aren't nuts. But it's processed. I mean, the cashews are processed with peanuts, so.
Right. Gotcha. Too bad there's not any big ones left. I'd like to try it with the paste on it and stuff.
I'll bring some. I'll bring some next time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. They really, I mean, put them out there, the whole thing went real quick, so.
Cool. Very cool. You got anything else on your talking points?
No, I kind of crossed out over my talking points. I don't know if there's anything else that I have. I have, I brought these again because there's a cool picture of the moon that I wanted to show you.
Blue-red 3D glasses. Greg has real wraparound blue-red 3D glasses. High-quality stuff compared to the paper ones I got. But not very clean. Lots of smudges.
So this
especially on the blue ones.
I don't. Well, that's where I jerk off on. So you know.
Awesome.
I don't like the red lens for jerk off. Just the blue.
Speaking of jerking off.
Going down that route, huh?
Actually, I do have a related item, not to jerking off, at least not to me jerking off, but I was doing academic research the other day of Reddit's random not safe for work link. There's some fucked up shit.
You don't say.
Let's see, I need to brighten this up a little bit. Okay. Got the moon, it's a full moon. 3D here.
It pops out at you.
It does, especially the bottom half where it's brighter. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Actually, wow. It took some time for my eyes to see the pop out. It took a good 20 or seconds or so. Yeah, this is nuts. It looks like it is
sticking out of the screen.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's funny how it took my eyes time to adjust. Like, at first, my eyes were crossed a little bit. And then the mountain range in the northern hemisphere was, you know, three-dimensional. And then right about the time you said it pops out at you, it looks like half a tennis ball.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's a great picture.
Wow. That's really crazy how deep it is. I've never seen anything stick out like that.
Yeah, with those plain old simple 3D glasses. Plain old red-blue.
It did take some time for my eyes to adjust, but wow, that's very. Oh, but when you turn the screen, it doesn't pop out at you anymore.
If you move your head, it kind of follows your head a little bit.
Okay, yeah, kind of. Well, it's funny if you give it a little bit of, like, if you turn it this far, it breaks it. If you turn it a little bit, it starts to squish the moon a little bit.
You know, it's even cooler. Try putting them on upside or. Backwards. Not turn upside down.
Well, I just want to see. My eyes have to adjust to it all over again. Oh, wait. Dude, it's inside. It's inside out.
Oh, really? Just doing that turns inside
out? You turn the computer up.
Yeah, that'll work, yeah. So
you turn the computer upside down, and now the moon's inside out.
It's that would work just by if you switch the red and blue.
Yeah,
so yeah, I guess upside down would work. Yeah. Same thing.
So you wanted me to look at it through the lenses backwards.
Right.
That does the same thing?
Yeah, it'll do the same thing.
Yeah. Here, put them on and do the upside down thing.
Alright.
It doesn't look as good as when it's pointing towards you.
Yeah, so there it is. It's popping out at you and it's like bulging out of you. And you put it like that and yeah, it turns concave. It's really cool. That if you just take look Bad Astronomy 3D Moon, you'll get the picture. Google that, and if you have some red and blue cellophane, red goes on the left, blue on the right, and that's all you need. It makes a great picture. Great thing to show people. Let's see if there's anything else I have in my bag.
Bag of tricks.
Bag of tricks. No. Must have left my flashlight at Jonathan's. I had a cool flashlight I wanted to show you, but no, not here.
I helped Scott get the new East End Brewing website up and going since the last time we talked, so long overdue. We use Squarespace. Basically, I need to divest all of my web hosting properties just because I don't have time to maintain any of that shit anymore. Maintaining Drupal installs and things like that. So we tried out Squarespace and really worked out well. Scott can do all the content maintenance now. He can do a lot of design on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I just helped him get everything moved over and set up. Kind of worked on, picked one of their templates, and the templates are hugely modifiable, so we just kind of picked something. A designer probably could do better, but between Scott and I, it's not too shabby. And getting a lot of good feedback on the site. So,
cool.
And it's not this horribly insecure 3-version old Drupal website anymore that I cannot believe was never hacked and defaced.
When I had a Drupal site of my own, I had like my niece's site with pictures mm-hmm. and stuff, I got an email from somebody saying, you know, why are you sending me spam emails? I traced them back to you. And I was like, oh, whoops, somebody hacked into my thing and just took mm-hmm. it over. So I sent him an apology and said, I'm sorry about that. And I basically deleted the site.
I mean, I set up a Drupal site for Allison. I set up one for Max, you know. And when for Allison, we actually had time to blog about our first child. Mm-hmm. So there was some stuff up there. And did that one get defaced? Or no, I think all the content just got lost in me trying to do something hastily. And then Max has hardly ever had anything put on it because you have a kid and a baby. No time to blog then. And I got rid of mine. We got rid of Crafty Radio a couple of years ago just because we had to. And it was an unsecure version that was not getting patched anymore.
Yeah.
It was only going to matter of time before it got defaced. And East End Brewing's gone.
Speaking of which, you sent me some message about...
Oh, it's not what I thought it was.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was... There's this thing on Google's search results about structured data, and they showed an album with play buttons. But they weren't play buttons. They were just like, here's the track list. I was hoping that it was like, you could like, Craft Beer Radio, get an episode, or get a list of all the episodes like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not, you'd have to actually handcraft a page to do all that crap. I did set up a XML sitemap with all the text files that make the content part of the RSS feed for each show.
Okay.
And I'm hoping Google, probably if I actually did a search right now, I would know whether this worked or not, but I haven't tried in a couple of days. I was hoping Google would index those text files because they do index text files. And if they do, then that would give us an episode search, in essence. But I don't know if they index those text files. And as soon as I get off here, I'll give it a try, unless you want to search for, like, do a Google search for, you know, site:craftbeerradio.com, and then search for New Belgium Brewing, or New Belgium, or something like that, and see if it comes back with anything other than the RSS file.
Your site, your search site, craftbeerradio.com, news, Belgium, did not match any.
Okay, so it didn't work. I don't have to tinker with that anymore, see if there's a way to make it happen, because...
Maybe it has to do another search, though. I mean, who knows when the last time they archived.
Google crawls your site, like, 3 times a day.
You think?
they do. I'll show you the stats on Googlebot. It's there. I mean, it's insane how much crawling Google does. Off the tinker. There's some pretty good tools on for webmaster tools on Google to help, you know, fine tune all your SEO type stuff. And this isn't so much.
The last time the snapshot of the page, last time it cached was November 23rd, 2013. Okay, that's the last time it was cached.
Yeah, I don't know if the cache is the same as crawling or not. But anyway, so hopefully we can get I'd love to get the shows. Because you know all the beers are listed there. I'd love to get that indexed somehow. If I can't get Google to do it, I could probably do it with HT Dig or something like that, but it's another thing I don't want to maintain, you know, so it's like, but I do think we're sorely missing an index search.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, so now I'm working on the, well, there's two more sites that I host that I need to divest, and that's the Going Home Greyhounds site and then the Trash Home Brewers site. And I'm working with the Greyhounds right now to move them over to Squarespace as well. It'll be a win-win. Get them out of my hair. And they won't need any kind of Unix or PHP expert to do anything with Squarespace. They'll be able to, anyone who has half a content management, you know, using a CMS, you know, can do everything in Squarespace. So Squarespace is pretty decent. There's some hard limitations. Like, I was hoping that I could use their blog engine as database entries for not bloggy things, like the available Greyhounds. But they don't have a way to paste in formatting to a blog, and you can't duplicate a previous blog thing. So, like, every time you add a new Greyhound, you have to recreate the whole formatting, like the picture on the left and the stats on the right and the description underneath. It's a little tedious. So you're just staring at me like, I don't care.
No, I'm staring because I just got a notification that I was looking at. But no, okay.
So I'm a little disappointed with that part of Squarespace, but in general, and for the East End Brewing stuff.
Do they have some sort of database? I mean, they must have some sort of database thing there. I mean,
there's some developer
things.
Some developer stuff. It's all heavy in JSON and, you know, jQuery and stuff like that.
As it should be.
So I need to figure out what's possible and not possible with storing data in there. I really don't want to I don't want to write a custom database for the Greyhound things. I just want to use the tools that were there again, so there's, you know, less reliance on me going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's really the only catch. I got most of their content moved over. I got their store set up. The store's actually going to probably be better than it was before on Drupal. And yeah, so it's good. Relatively easy to get the stuff moved over. And like I said, I won't be running these grossly insecure Drupal sites on my server anymore. And they won't, you know, need me to do stuff for them anymore, which would be great. Since I don't have a Greyhound. I haven't had a Greyhound for...
this is interesting.
4 years.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just got an ISON update. Something survived. We don't know what there. Something survived the perihelion.
Okay, something as in...
You
just said before dust survived, so now it's right, more than dust. Right. It's what? Between what?
So, like, here was, you know, you saw there's a little kind of puff that you can barely see. You can barely make out.
The dark spot? Or?
No. Oh, okay. It actually crosses through the dark spot. You can see it if you look close.
Oh, okay, I see.
So a little kind of puff.
Uh-huh.
And then it looks like you see a little bit more there,
uh-huh,
right? And this is the latest. And, yeah, something survived. So.
I love this. So, I saw an update for today. It made it, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Developing news.
So the question will be, now it's going to approach closer to Earth within, I think, 40 million miles. Nothing to get worried about. It's also going to be way off our plane, so it's not, you know, so nothing to worry about at all. But it will be closer to Earth, so if it's bright enough, it should be easily visible in the night sky. Yeah. And if it's really bright, possibly visible in the day.
Yeah, daytime would be awesome.
That would be really, really cool.
To live through something like that. I mean, yeah. It's happened for millennia, and it's always been the harbinger of doom. And I would just
love to... And now we understand it, so now it's not. So now it's just cool.
I would just love to see it, you know. It almost connects you back to ancient man in some way. Like, because, like, in our lifetimes, there really hasn't been
Hail Bop was when I remember. Like I said, yeah. I remember it being pretty bright in the nighttime.
Yeah.
You could see it.
But it wasn't, you know, this... It wasn't
a daytime, just some sort of, like, but, what the heck is that? And it's just sitting there in the sky.
But even then, did Hail Bop, like, stick out in the sky? Look at me, motherfuckers, I'm right here.
Yeah, I remember it that way, but I never... But I remember looking at it either with binoculars or even without binoculars, seeing something there with binoculars, seeing it really pretty nice and clearly. Uh-huh. You can see two tails. You can see, you know, the ion tail and then the dust trail. I remember it being... You know, just bright enough. You didn't have to have any specialty equipment to view it. So it was pretty cool. It was not like Halley's, which was kind of a fizzle the last time it came around.
Right. There was a radio lab about the ice guy that they found in Italy. What's his name? Uchi or. I forgot how you pronounce
Uchi,
it.
Uchi, Scoochie, Moochie?
It's like Uchi or something like that. You know, the dude that's 5,000 years old and his flesh is still intact. You know, remember, they found him in 91. I'm sure you've heard about him, right?
Yeah.
There's some more recent developments, though, where they found that he was murdered. They didn't see the stone arrowhead in his shoulder until, like, last year. Or the year before, I think. And then they actually did a high-resolution CT scan on him. And then they found that...
Excuse me.
They found more injuries. They found, like, he had a defensive wound on his palm of his hand. It was sliced open with a knife. And his skull was bashed in and stuff like that.
Wow.
But it was...
You'd think they would have found that out for...
Well, it was... Yeah, I mean, I don't know the reasons why they didn't find all that. But like, the palm had started to heal. So, like, it was, like, 3 days early, like, several days earlier. So, like, now, like, they're starting to, like, forensics can start putting the story together. Like, where they found him. They found, like, in his colon different pollen things. So, they knew he was up in the mountains. And then he was down in the valley. And then back up in the mountains in just a couple of days.
So, I wonder if maybe he was assaulted, left for dead.
What they think was he was some kind of guy that went up in the mountains for hunting or whatnot. He was had great his physique was top notch, kind of built like an Olympic wrestler. He was only 5'2". Well, he was 5,000 years old. I'm sure humans weren't that tall 5,000 years ago. He was 5'2", built like an Olympic wrestler, and they suggest that he was up in the mountains, come down to his village. The village was attacked, right? And this is where his hand got cut and whatnot, and he was fleeing. Right. And then, arrow got him, filled up his chest with blood. He suffocated, and died. But they have also found, like, if just several hours before he died, he had a big meal of roast goat and bread. So he had time to prepare a fire, cook his meal. So he wasn't under duress immediately before his death. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy, this, like, 5,000-year-old forensic work. It's cool. It's almost exciting to hear about this, copper age, right? I mean, he had like a copper axe, and stone tools. They found in his quiver that most of his arrows didn't have tips or feathers, so he grabbed a bunch of arrows when he was fleeing from the village, even though they were useless because they don't have feathers on them, and so his village got wiped out. He fled up there and, I guess one of the only reasons his body survived like that, I guess if you stay frozen like in a block of ice, you decay. But he had a freeze-thaw cycle, like a slight thawing or something like that, which helped. They didn't explain in Radiolab why that helps preserve it, but he was just in the right spot for 5,000 years.
Huh.
Every year, a little bit of thaw kept his body preserved or something.
I wonder why being frozen in a solid block of ice
would be worse. Well, I'm not sure. I hope that Radiolab didn't...
it's because the stuff inside your body, at the very beginning at least, was still outgas. And then anywhere to go, it would just kind of bloat your body and maybe just kind of disintegrate it. But maybe if it could outgas...
Yeah, maybe.
But that's just a...
Yeah, I just don't know. But
out there theory.
It's fascinating, the science work that they've done in this guy. They've learned so much about humans 5,000 years ago from this specimen. And now they're putting together the story of his last days. And it's just like, it's just so cool that you science in the research can show some of like the humanity, like almost like a diary. You know,
I would say, without having seen it,
maybe not the humanity. Maybe that was going a little far.
It sounds a little like there's a lot of there's a whole lot of speculation in with the data. In terms of, you know, how the guy lived. I mean, the whole thing with his village got attacked, that's a nice story.
Right. Well, sure.
But that has nothing to do with the
Yeah, the village is presumptuous. But, yeah. I mean, it does show that he drank water with a certain pollen in it up in the mountains.
Right.
Went down. And about the time when he was down in the valley is when he got those defensive wounds on his hands.
I mean, you know, here's another thing that I could think of. He's a good hunter. People know he's a good hunter. Maybe he went up into the mountains. He came down and some bandits came on him, grabbed his stuff he was hunting and, you know, attacked him, and he ran away from them, or, you know, and then he died. So there's nothing about a village being attacked.
Well, no, but they chased him up the mountain and shot him, you know, so with an arrow, you know, so he was being pursued. Oh, and he was also like,
do we know that? I mean, that's a,
he was, he was shot and died. Where they found him, the arrow in his shoulder is what killed him.
But he still had time to get goat, and
before he was found and shot, right? Because you don't have roast goat and bread. Water. He actually had time to cook the goat, so he
cooked the goat. He wasn't, came down from the mountain.
No. He had the goat hours before he had died. The wounds on his hands and the pollen from the trees down in the valley in his gut were from days before he had died.
So he was chased at the mountain, but then he still had the wherewithal to capture a goat and make bread?
He wasn't in immediate peril at that time, right? You know, maybe he thought he'd gotten away from him. Maybe, you know, he wasn't under duress.
See, that's why I think the bandit story makes, to me, more sense. Because right. Some bandits came upon him, took his stuff. He ran back. He got, you know, he figured the best way to lose him would be run back up the mountain. Got an arrow in his back as he was running away because he didn't want to, you know, him to get it. He probably, you know, Olympic build or whatever from that time. Probably pain was a bet.
His chest filled with blood. He died in minutes from after he was shot.
Oh. So when did he have time?
He thought he was, you know, he was up in the hills.
Uh-huh.
The guys weren't immediately threatening him. So he had several hours to prepare, you know, to cook the goat.
So it could be he went back to his village, brought his stuff, went back up for more. Then he got attacked.
You're missing some of the timing, though. I mean, you should listen to it, but his hands had started to heal, so it was about 3 or 4 days from, and it was kind of cut on his hand. Typically, when you forensic, you know, criminal pathologist or whatever, you know, have assessed this, and it's the kind of thing like, you know, someone's menacing you with a knife, you put your hand up to defend yourself, and that's kind of cut that he got, right? That had started to heal.
So maybe these bandits had attacked him before he got away, and then they came back for him.
All right, but the hand cut coincides with pollen in his gut from trees that only bloom down in the valley. So he was drinking water from down by presumably where a village was, right? That's the presumed part, but down in the valley. And then, you know, just days later he was...
I don't like all these assumptions.
Well, what's the assumptions?
That there was a village there?
No, there's no assumptions. He was down in the valley drinking water and getting his hand cut, which forensics, you know, experts say is a defensive wound when you...
I'm going to go iffy on that one. I don't trust modern... I think that forensics needs a lot before it becomes a much more rigorous science than it is right now. I think there's a lot of guesswork and stuff sort of placed on things in terms of forensics, and it can be established science.
It was a very deep cut that nicked the bone in his hand. So not just a little, you know, cut slice. Mm-hmm. He also had in his pouch bogwort, which is a mild antiseptic. So they also think he was using that to treat his cuts. I don't know, but yeah, we just need how they, you know, used his digestive tract as kind of a black box of where he had been and, you know, what he had digested and whatnot. And, you know, just showing that he had time to have a cooked meal hours before he was shot in the shoulder and killed. You know.
So. Well, I will never feel bad for being overly skeptical of a claim that I find to be without, you know, based on what I've heard. And I haven't heard the whole thing or read anything about it. But based on what you've told me, I don't think there's enough evidence to establish a clear story. However, I think it's a cool, you know, it's cool. There's a cool mix of things going on there that's neat. But
yeah, okay, so forget about the village and the attackers and stuff. Just how they were able to track back his location.
Yeah.
And also his demise. I mean, like, you know, he was shot in the shoulder. That's what killed him because his chest filled up with blood and he couldn't breathe. You know, from the injury, they could see what artery was severed, all that stuff. And then in his stomach, cooked meat, right?
Yeah.
So he had time, and 5,000 years ago, you just didn't go up to McDonald's and grab cooked meat, right? You had to have a goat, you had to cook it, you had to build a fire, all that stuff.
He may have had some cooked meat with him, but, you know, and especially if it was cold, it may not have spoiled. You know what they should do? Dexter's a lumberjack now. He knows blood spatter analysis. He knows the cold weather. They should get Dexter on it.
There you go. I'm just trying to see what the guy's name is here again. You can talk while I'm trying to load this page.
Just, sorry, I was looking at something. Tonight's beer is, you know, because we told him about Matilda.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said that he just remembered the regular Matilda being funky and aging quickly, and that he actually compared it to Rayon Vert in his tasting notes. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That one's pretty funky. I remember when we did Rayon Vert. Utzi is his name. O with umlauts, T-Z-I. It's a nickname. But yeah, check out the Radio Lab. See if you find it fascinating or, you know, fantastic claims. And go from there. But it's pretty neat. Especially the time scale. And that all this information was preserved over 5,000 years.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, and again, I mean, I'm speaking completely out of turn. I have no frame of reference for this besides what you're telling me. So I can't say one way or another whether it's going to the story that you're telling me sounds a little fishy, but then again, like I said, I don't have all the information. And
when they found him back in 91, it was a couple of husband and wife climbers, and they decided to go off the path, and they found him. And I guess when they first found him, and when you see a picture of Utzi, you don't know how he could have been mistaken for someone who had just got frozen and died. But they thought, you know, it was someone who had just had an accident. So the rescue crews come up and they start digging him out. And the way they portrayed it on Radiolab is, you know, they started noticing things weren't quite right. Like the dude had woven grass socks and, you know, like tattoos on the backs of his knees and, you know, like all this stuff. But, you know, his clothing, you know, I can't remember the other details, but woven grass socks. But, yeah, I mean, look, dude's 5,000 years old and look, he still has flesh, still has fingernails.
Huh.
Still has teeth, still has food in his stomach. And, oh yeah, his age. The dude was like 42 years old.
Yeah?
42? 5,000 years ago? That's an old guy.
No, I mean, if you take a look, there's a misconception about ages.
Okay.
In older times. Because if you take average age, then yeah, it's really low. But the reason why that's low is because there was a whole lot of death in childbirth. An extraordinary amount of death in childbirth. But once you got past a certain, you know, level, you were pretty... People lived to their 60s or even 70s or older. It happened. It was not exceedingly rare.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not like people only lived their 20s or 30s and that was it. It's just because if you take the average and you have a whole lot of people die in childbirth... Then,
okay.
These things happen. Cool.
Utzi.
Utzi. O-T-Z-I. O has an umlaut over it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah, listen to the show. See if you're, if you find it fascinating or fantastical. And I'd love to get your feedback on that.
I will.
Fun story. Radiolab doing what Radiolab does.
All right, well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a good Turkey Day, gobble gobble, and a good Black Friday, gobble gobble.
And then Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday, and then several weeks of Christmas carols.
Yeah, yeah. They started in October, or right after Halloween, so in some places.
Okay. Fun.